welcome to the Messiantics Podcast, a podcast about all things Messianic Judaism. Each episode, we will be sharing our opinions as we tackle some of the biggest issues in Messianic Judaism. Now, here's your hosts, Rabbis Eric, David, Jonathan, and Toby.
Shalom. One of the biggest questions that runs through the minds of many believers, whether they're Messianic believers or Christians, is about how do I know I'm hearing the voice of God? As we walk through our walk, we hear it all the time. Pastors say it, rabbis say it, other people say it. I heard from God. God told me to do this. God said this. And so the question, especially for young believers or new believers, is how do I know if I'm hearing from Hashem or if this is just my own mind or my own desires, my own thoughts or what's going on? And what if I haven't heard? What if my whole walk? I just was talking with somebody at a congregation recently, and they said, I've been a believer for all this time, and I've never once felt like I've heard God's voice or that God in. Now, I fully believe in Yeshua. I believe in God. I believe in His Word, but I don't know that I've ever actually had an encounter where I felt like I heard God's voice. Mm-hmm. Is there something wrong with me?
Right.
What about that? So we're going to talk a little about that today. We're going to share some of our own experiences. But I want to start out by saying something that I think is extremely important. And that is that we have a book that God wrote through men that speaks to us. And that there are many times that I know people who aren't following what the book says or looking in the book for answers and are like, I'm waiting until I hear from God. I'm not doing anything until I hear from God. I'm going to wait till I hear from God. I'm waiting for the voice of God, for the sky to open up, for light to shine down and knock me to the ground so I'll know this is God. And let me say, before you try going to a spiritual encounter with God where their voice comes from heaven, like it did with Rav Shaul or Noah, just know that God already gave us a book called the Bible, called the Holy Scriptures, from Genesis through Revelation, in which He's already answered almost every question you will ever have to get an answer for.
Right.
And if you look in that book, so a lot of times people are like, I'm waiting for God to talk to me. Mm-hmm. What they're actually saying is, I want God to give me a different answer to my question than the one He already did. Maybe my situation is different and unique, and God is going to provide me a unique answer that's outside the scope of what He already said. So while I fully believe God speaks to us, and I believe He's spoken to me, most of the answers that I get from God, most of the communication I have with God comes directly through His Word as I read the Scripture, as I look in the Bible. On my day-to-day reading, when I need an answer to a right. problem or a question, it's generally already answered in the Bible. So I want to start out by saying, if you're one of those people who are, I'm waiting for God to tell me what to do. What are you looking? Are you looking for a job? No, I'm waiting for God to speak to me. Are you moving? I'm waiting for God to be. Are you going to do this? Well, I'm waiting for God to speak to me. Let me clearly say, God has already spoke about a significant portion of the questions we'll ever have in our lives.
Right.
And if we just read His Word faithfully, the answers to most questions that will ever come up in our life
right.
are already in His Word.
Right.
So I want to say two things. Number one, it was a fun conversation. See you next week. And number two, can you point me in the direction of the wiring harness discussion for my vehicle in the Bible? That would be no. In all seriousness, so this conversation I think is really important because while yes, there are those that will tell you and I mean, not in a hurry. Like, they're not, it's not like they're saying it like it's something to be proud of or not be proud of or whatever. But
let's not pretend
you,
those people don't exist either.
That will tell you that they've never heard the voice of God, or they don't think they've ever heard the voice of God, or recognize what it sounds like or whatever. There are also those, and this is why this is such an important conversation to me.
The other side of the spectrum.
There is always the other side of the pendulum in which they swing way, way out on the weird side. You know, I've known people, and I my big thing is when we're having these conversations, if it's something negative, I don't mention names. I will gladly praise somebody and mention their name, but if it's something negative, I won't. But I've known people in congregations I've worked in that have been, you know, one particular person that everything they did was, God told me to do this. Oh, the Lord told me to put it on my heart. And like, you know, they were on their way to service one day, and they were running late. They get there, it's like, oh, I'm so sorry, I was late. I had to stop for gas. The Lord told me, you know, hey, you need to stop for gas right now. There's no more gas stations ahead until you get to whatever. And it's going to be, you need to get gas right now or you're going to run out. And I just, it was such a spiritual impression on my heart. And I'm like, I mean, I know you well enough to know your light was on. Like, your dash is what was talking to you, and you're trying to put it on God. And that's not to say that God doesn't talk in the mundane, right? But the reality is that when God is speaking, it's not generally going to be like you're going to hear the divine voice of God tell you you need to wipe your butt after you go to the bathroom, or you need to wash your hands. Like, you know, we straight up just got through with realizing for 2 years how few people washed their hands over the last couple of centuries, right? COVID, everybody suddenly ran out of hand soap in the bathrooms and had to get taught how to wash their hands on TV, right? And all this. And we're like, oh, well, maybe people didn't wash their hands as much as we thought they were before. And maybe these signs in the bathroom that employees must wash their hands before going back to work are important because they don't think about it. It's not that God won't talk in the mundane, but I think more often than not, God's given us common sense for those issues.
Right.
When God's communicating with us, number one, I think Rabbi Eric's on point with it, is what's the word say first and foremost, right? And second off, if you're hearing something that you think is the voice of God, like, let's compare it with the Word of God and make sure it's not in contradiction to, make sure it's not something that's...
Right. Because, you know, God's Spirit will never tell you to do something contrary to His Word.
Or to His character and nature, contrary to His character and nature. You know, so if you feel this impression that the Lord's put it on your heart to go, you know, kill somebody, probably not God, because that's against His character and nature to have done something like that. But, you know, I think, and one of the things I'd like to really do in this conversation today is kind of share stories of when we've had times where we've felt the Lord speak into our lives. And for some, maybe that is an audible, like defined audible voice. And for others, maybe it's something that just popped out of the Word. I've got numerous stories from my own life, but, you know, we'll kind of open it up from here.
I've got two that I want to share real quick and then give the floor to Toby and Jonathan. But one was when I was in a small town in Alabama. We didn't have television at our home at the time, no cable TV. I'd never heard of the Messianic movement or anything to do with it. And I was very happy being part of the community I was at the time, leading a congregation there that was a Christian church at the time. And I was just praying one day, and I heard what felt like an audible voice. Was it audible? I don't know. But it felt like an audible voice saying, "You're a Jew, live like one." Now, I didn't even know there was a Messianic movement. I didn't know there were other Jewish people that believed. I didn't know any of that. But I went back to my wife and said, I really feel like God has spoke to me and said, "You're a Jew, live like one." She said, "What does that mean?" I said, "I really don't know, but I think what we'll do is start having a Friday night Jewish service at our congregation and then our regular Sunday service and see where that goes." Now, ultimately, that led me to a Messianic community through a whole bunch of other experiences and led me to where I am today.
What's funny is that the years prior to that, there were numerous arguments between he and I. Because he, when he came to faith, he lost everything. You know, the church that he came to faith in told him he's no longer Jewish. His family kind of disowned him, and so on. And so there was a lot of, you know, wounds that he carried from all of that. And so you know, I never personally felt comfortable in a church. Not there's anything wrong with church, but I never felt comfortable. I went total Seinfeld there. But you know, it was never a home to me. And we would have arguments about, me talking to him, well, we're Jewish. Like, why are we not, you know, doing that? And, well, we're not Jewish. We're not Jewish anymore. We're Christians. This is what we do. But we're not. Like, I found his, he had a little keepsake box from his bar mitzvah with a mezuzah, a necklace, and a kiddush cup and all this kind of stuff. And you remember I found the necklace and was like, and at that point, like, we were in he came to faith, him and mom grew up in this, like, hyper-Pentecostal holiness church where, like, dudes can't wear jewelry and, you know, have to have a specific hairstyle and all this. And,
right, no beards.
And so he had this necklace, and I'm bringing it out. I'm like, hey, can I wear this? And he blew a lid, one, because dudes don't wear necklaces per, you know, where they were at that time, and then two, because it was this Jewish emblem that, for whatever reason, he had completely, like, pushed
disassociated
out
from,
and yet still wouldn't let go of, because the keepsake box of all the stuff from his bar mitzvah was still sitting there, right? But we had had, I mean, heated arguments in the years prior to this effect, and then, like, all of a sudden. So I don't. It's not to say that God used our arguments as, like, a preparation point for that. But Rabbi Toby and I were talking yesterday, or maybe it was even this morning, about Stephen's murder or his
stoning.
What's the word? Martyrdom was, I truly believe, was a softening of Paul's heart, because it's two chapters. You know, Paul's the one, randomly his name comes up at the end of the story. They threw their right. cloaks at his feet to get his approval, and then two chapters later he has his salvational experience. And I wholeheartedly think that Stephen's martyrdom was what God used to soften Paul's heart for what was about to happen a few chapters later. And I don't know, maybe that was, you know, those arguments is kind of tormentuous as they were, maybe they were a part of that whole process. Yeah.
And the second one I want to bring up happened just this morning, and this wasn't an audible voice kind of situation like that one, which that's only happened a couple times in my life. But I was driving down the road today, and somebody came to my heart that I hadn't thought of in a while, and so I really felt compelled to pray for them, and I prayed for them, and then I called them on the phone, and I haven't called them in who knows how long it's been, and I just said, hey, I really felt led to pray for you this morning. I wanted to call, and I don't know what's going on or what's not going on. It doesn't really matter, but I wanted you to know that we were praying for you today. And he told me, he said, everything's going well, and then he said, you know what? I have two cousins that are Jewish, not yet believers in Yeshua, that are coming to spend the weekend with our family this week, because he was trying to figure out why would God have me pray for him, you know. And then it dawned on him, maybe this was God having other people pray for him as he's going to encounter his cousins and their families who are not yet believers, and preparing the foundation for what was going to happen this weekend. So anyhow, both those are two different examples. Both, I believe, were God's Spirit speaking to me. One in what was, I felt, an audible, or if not audible, at least the appearance or feeling of an audible voice.
Right.
And one just being within me, no voice or anything, but just a strong leading to do something that was not the normal. Like, I don't normally wake up thinking, you know, driving down the road thinking about this person, but it just, his name came to my mind, prayed for him, called him, and I really feel that that was God leading me to do that, and speaking to my heart to do that in some way. So,
for me personally, this is Rabbi Toby. Most of how the Lord speaks to me is through Scripture,
right?
And I think that that's. I think most people. I have heard people say two particular that I can think of. I've heard two people say. One I heard on a podcast. Another was a pastor that was giving a sermon, and both of them said, I've never heard the audible voice of God. He's only ever spoken to me through Scripture. And that doesn't mean they're not hearing from God, but I was surprised because I have heard God audibly speak.
Right.
But I remember pretty much all of those instances because it's not something that just happens
right.
All the time. And it's not like I'm talking to you. And that's what I would tell other believers, or even, you know, someone who doesn't believe in God or something that's like, you know, well, how do you know, God's talking to you? You know, what is it, just like this? I'm like, well, it's not like this. It's not like that. The first time that the Lord ever spoke to me was when I was 11, and it was I was at a youth camp, and they were having an invitation. And why this was important to me is because I was already saved, and you know, I was in the church, and I'd already made like my public profession of faith and stuff. But this was special because my parents weren't here at this youth camp,
right?
And I was making a decision on my own.
Yeah, they weren't watching.
But I felt, now I didn't hear God say, get up and go forward. I didn't hear anything. I felt this feeling that I can't describe. It's like a mixture of being nervous and adrenaline. It was like a moment. And I just stood up and walked up there.
Right.
And I knew that was the Holy Spirit stirring me to respond. I didn't feel forced, but there was this power that was like surging through me, and I don't mean power like it was like I felt it was the Holy Spirit. That was the first time. But actually hearing words was when the Lord told me that Brooke was going to, it was when Brooke and I were engaged, and she was still living in Dallas, and we didn't know how she was going to move to Georgia. And the Lord spoke to me one day when I was praying, and because we didn't know what we were going to do. Like, we were engaged, but we didn't know how logistically she was going to move here.
Right.
To Georgia. Not, you know, we're in Pensacola now, but I'm just saying.
Eastbound and down.
Right. So, I was having this time with the Lord, and I heard this phrase, she will be here in January. I swear by my name. That's what I heard. Now, what did it sound like? Well, it sounded like, it was like a whisper, but it wasn't into my ears. It was like from within, you know?
Was right. It Morgan Freeman, James Earl right. Jones?
I can't even describe that. I can't describe it, but I know I heard those words.
Right.
And eventually, and what's amazing is I remember when, you know, as time worked out, and I didn't hear that and then, you know, say, okay, it's got to be in January. She moved. It was like towards the end of January.
Right.
So it was like, and I think that's another important thing that I think that often people don't do is they don't allow God to, I think in some cases when God is speaking to you about something, I think it should be confirmed. That's not to say that God can't just speak to you in that moment, you know it's Him. But,
right.
You know, I remember when the Lord told us to move from Savannah back to my hometown in Atlanta when we were at Care and Orr, Messianic Congregation in Savannah. And I remember when God told us that we were moving back. And again, this was an audible voice. Literally, my wife and I were on vacation, and we were driving home from vacation, and we had to drive through Griffin to get to Savannah. And the moment we got into the city of Griffin, this feeling came over both of us, and we didn't want to leave. Like, we stopped at my dad's house, and we hung out as long as we could. And I told my wife, I said, "What do you feel what I'm feeling?" She goes, "Like, you don't want to leave here right now?" And I said, "Yeah, like, literally, I don't want to go back home." And Brooke goes, "We need to pray about this, because I feel it, you feel it." And I mean, I can sit here, just one of us could sit here for hours and go through all the stories. It's not always the same. And we started to pray, and as we and that feeling didn't go away. And, you know, there was lots of other stories that we had. But the thing is that the Lord eventually confirmed it and made a way for us to move back and all that. But so those are my stories.
I'm going to go ahead and jump in here for a moment and share a little bit. But there are two very distinct times that there's been a number of things that I've really felt the Lord spoke to me in various ways. But two very distinct times, both having to do with my being a rabbi, that stand out to me as times, and they're very different ways that the Lord spoke into my life. And, you know, as we talked in an early episode, I think actually our first episode, when we kind of talked about our testimonies and how we got where we are and all that kind of stuff. I talked about how the I'm one of the people that I've known my whole life what my calling was, that I was supposed to be a rabbi. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want anything to do. I mean, my dad was a rabbi. I watched how people treat their pastors and their rabbis and all that. I didn't want anything to do with that. And so I tried to run from it for a number of years. And the only job I ever wanted was to go in the Marine Corps. And so I tried multiple times to go in the Marine Corps, and every time I tried, there was like this really weird thing that would happen that would keep me from being able to go. Like I missed weight cut by 1 pound once, and another time, I forget what happened, something weird happened, but the last time I tried to go in, I made it to MEPS finally. I had my weight cut, I had my PT stuff, I had everything lined up. I get to MEPS and I fail urinalysis. Not for drugs. Never done drugs a day in my life. I failed urinalysis because a water pill had a weird reaction to my urinary tract. And next thing I know, I've got a Navy corpsman ripping me a new one because of diuretics and whatever, which, oddly enough, it was my recruiter had set me up with his personal trainer before I went to MEPS, and the personal trainers who gave me the water pills and whatever. But nonetheless, so they told me I had to come back in 14 days to redo height and weight and urinalysis. Other than that, I was good to go. And so we had a ship out date set up and all this kind of stuff. And so in the meantime, I'm still going back and forth to the recruiting station, training with the recruiters and getting ready so I didn't, like, you know, lose any momentum or whatever. So this one day I'm driving home from the recruiting station. Danielle and I had only been married for about a year or so. I'm driving home from the recruiting station. At that point, I had a 92 Mustang convertible, and I had the top down and some music playing. I think it was like worship music of some sort playing. And I'm sitting at a red light coming home from the recruiting station. And I'm not going to say it was an audible voice, but it was definitely it was the voice of God speaking into my heart. And the best way I can describe it was almost like somebody smacked me in the back of the head to get my attention.
Right.
And I wholeheartedly felt the Lord say, "This is not what I created you for. This is not what I've called you to be. This is not what I want you to do. But this is the last time I stop it. I've stopped it several times before. This is the last time. And if you continue down this path instead of what I want you to do, then you will pay the consequences that come." And it was at that moment that I very literally, and I describe it this way intentionally, but I very literally told God, "All right, I throw in the towel. I'm done fighting. I don't want to do what you want me to do, but I don't want to lose out. So whatever you want me to do, I'm just going to do it." And it was at that moment that I really started chasing, you know, becoming a rabbi. The other time was, and it was an entirely different experience with hearing the Lord speaking in my life, was when we were in New York. When we moved there for me to go to school and to work with Shuvia Sorrell in Long Island as a rabbinic intern, we wholeheartedly believed that part of what God was calling us up there for was to plant a congregation in Nyack. And so that was something that was on our trajectory. Mm-hmm. Like I was telling somebody the other day, I even did a project in one of my classes in undergrad in which I mapped out how to plant a congregation there. And I was like, "I'm going to do it anyways. I might as well go ahead and get grade for it now and have the plans ready to go." And so that was kind of our trajectory. That was my goal. And in 2008, I guess it was, Danielle started talking to me randomly one day and goes, "Hey, I really feel like the Lord's put it on my heart that we're supposed to move back down south. We're not supposed to start something here. We're not supposed to stay here long term. When you finish school, we're supposed to move back down south." And I was very adamantly against it. I did not want to go back down south. I wanted to stay in New York. We loved it there. This was where we were supposed to be. I knew this was what God wanted us to do, was to start a congregation there and whatever. And so over the course of about a year, she kept bringing it up. And finally, I'm driving her to work one day before I have to go to class. I was going to drive her to work, go home and spend some time in the Word, and then go to class. So I'm driving her to work, and she brings it up again. And I went, "All right, look, I'm tired of this conversation. Like, I don't mean to be mean, but we keep circling this thing, and I really don't feel like we're supposed to do this. But nonetheless, right now, we're going to put an end to this. I want you to pray right now, as we're on the way to your office, I want you to pray right now that if this is the Lord speaking that we're supposed to do this, that He will show me this morning, when I sit down to dig into the Word, He will show me this morning without a shadow of a doubt that this is what we're supposed to do." So she prayed, and I get home that day, and I open up the Bible, and I'm reading through, like I do, you know, pretty much every day, reading through the Word, and I get to Proverbs 16, and I'm reading through Proverbs 16, and, you know, first thing that jumps out is verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, "The plan of the heart belong to man, but the tongue's answer is from Adonai. All a man's all ways are pure in his own eyes, but Adonai weighs the motives. Commit whatever you do to Adonai, and your plans will succeed." And then verse 9 says, "The heart of man plans his course, but Adonai directs his footsteps." And verse 18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. And then verse 33, the last verse kind of doubles down on it again. It says, the lot is cast into the lap, but their very decision is from Adonai. And I really felt like the Lord was just once again slamming me about it and saying, look, your wife's right. Like, this is what I want you to do. You thought you were supposed to do this, but right. This isn't where you're supposed to be long term. You're supposed to be. And so I call her up and I'm like, all right, okay, here's what happened. I told her. And then the next day I realized, oh, wait, no, I'm very like OCD about the way I do a lot of things. And one of those things is how I keep track of where I am every day in the Bible. And I was four chapters off. I was supposed to be reading chapter 12 of Proverbs, and I read chapter 16 for whatever reason that day. Mm-hmm. And that was like a confirmation of it. And I told her about it, and I was like, look, I really think you're right. I think this is God. Okay, I'm going to give in. Again, I'm going to throw in the towel. This is, you know, whatever, we're going to do this. But it was a very clear, the Lord spoke this into our lives. And I joke with Danielle, and I tell her, I think the reason why God always talks to you, because same thing happened when we moved to New York about a year before she started talking to me about it. I think the Lord talks to her first about stuff because she's a harder sell and it's going to take her a little longer. And like, if God tells me to do something, I'm cool with just like Abrahaming it, pack up and go, let's go do this thing, right? But the reality is these are two times that I really feel like the Lord spoke directly to me, but in two very distinctly different ways. One was specifically through his word, like Rabbi Eric was saying earlier, and then the other was in kind of an inclination of the heart. Or whatever you want to call it, but very clearly the Lord speaking to me in these areas. And there's been countless other times, like Rabbi Toby was saying, we've all got story after story after story. Right. But I wanted to share those particular two because it shows, I think, the variance in the way God, if we're willing to heed and hear his voice
right.
in whatever way he's willing to speak into our lives.
Yeah, I've never had an audible speaking to. Like that I'm aware of and can recall. Almost every time it's been, you know, more of a like a confirmation, like kind of like a, you know how you got a, you know, coaches will kind of pat their players on the behind when they send them out in the field to get going. You know, just a little like, not a nudge quite, but like a, yeah, you're going in the right direction. Keep going that way. And, you know, a lot of times not even from Scripture necessarily. Most of the time when God has spoken to me, like and I know that, oh my goodness, like that's like God wants me to go this way, like there's no doubt in my mind, it's always it for me. I would say, you know, three times out of four it's always through another person that I've been talking to or interacting with or asking questions, a godly person, you know, someone who's also talking with and walking with God. You know, and there's been other interactions too, just kind of like
right. And those are confirmation kind of conversations. It's not necessarily like I've had a lot of people come up to me over the years and say, God told me you were supposed to go do this, or God told me right. you should do that. And to which I usually say, well, God has both my phone number and my email address.
Right.
And if he needs to get a hold of me,
God
can do that.
God has direct access. I don't.
Right.
Yeah. And
but there are times, like you're saying, where you're
right.
praying about something
yeah,
and then God brings someone.
Right. It's not like these. It's not like they just came out of the blue and said, hey, you know, God told me this about you. And I'm like, well, okay, well, I have had no such, you know, even thoughts about that at all or anything. And normally it's always something crazy. Like normally it's not like, oh, well, maybe it is something legitimately like, okay, no, that's not. Sometimes it's not even like a godly thing. But, you know, I remember one time, you know, I was praying about, you know, getting into a community because I knew I needed a place to worship and a place to go when I first was becoming messianic. And I was praying about, like right before I walked into Dothan Messianic Fellowship, I was like, Lord, if the fruit of the Spirit is here and your commandments are being kept here and they love you and they love those things and they love each other, you know, then I'll stay and I need to see that. And you know, and that was the case, you know, and I ended up staying. It was healthy, healthy congregation. Still is. And one of the big, I remember big times whenever I was like talking a lot with God and fasting and praying was about when Catherine and I were pursuing a relationship. And you know, some of the things that were happening and events and people conversations I was having, because, you know, I was, my prayer was, you know, Lord, if you want me to marry her, I will. You know, but I need to know if that's
willing
from
to take
you,
one for the team.
Willing
Lord.
To take one for the team. You know, she's beautiful and, you know, lovely and sweet. And but, you know, it's a burden I'm willing to bear. And she, so, you know, but that weekend before I came down, where we all met at the park that time, you know, I'd been praying that, you know, Lord, if this is meant to be, you know, then just let this weekend be easy. You know, let it just be there. It be filled with peace, filled with like no huge question marks, you know, at the end. And it was when it was a great weekend, not in a biased sense, because I was getting to meet Catherine and all the people here at Bredom, but everything, the drive down here, the traffic, the weekend, the timing of everything just flowed very easily. Just flowed very well. Everything, there was such a perfect peace about it all that I was like, by the time the weekend was over and it was time for me to go home, I was like, I feel confident in like continuing this and to pray and to ask more about this. And of course, then, you know, God confirmed it through several other people that, you know, this is the way you should be going.
This is the way.
This is the way. You know, coming down here to serve as assistant rabbi at Bredon, praying about that, fasting about that, and you know, having
still willing to take one for the team.
Still willing to take one for the team. Yeah, the and you know, I still don't regret that decision. And you know, hearing God through other people and confirming through other things, like, you know, having I would have never thought I would have been in ministry ever, like 5 years ago. And it was when you know, Gabe had, you know, talked to me. We were out walking on the behind his house. He was like, I feel like you have the gift of teaching. I want to draw that out of you. And I was like, I would have never really even looked or considered that. But that was another one of those moments where God was speaking through Gabe to get me to step into the place where I was supposed to be. And so, you know, and some people may be like, well, it's not, are you really hearing from God? I'm like, I believe so. Because, I mean, Moses, the one who spoke with God face to face, hears from his father-in-law about how to better run and organize the nation of Israel in the wilderness. And that becomes a part of the Torah, you know, this practice of having elders and judges over, you know, the tens, the hundreds, the thousands, the tens of thousands. And that was through a person, you know. And so absolutely, I believe God's, and that's how God speaks to me. And over, really, since I left for college on, that has been and continues to be largely the way that God speaks and moves me. I mean, he plants things in me, you know, there are like, but softly. I think God works with people too. You know, God understands who we are as a person and has created us to be that way. You know, I'm a person that bucks. If you try to shove me into a room, I buck back hard. And it's going to be very difficult to try to reorient me to do that thing. Because I'm like, why are you doing this? You know, there's no need. You could have just asked nicely. And, you know, normally when God speaks to me, it is a very gentle, like, you know, when it came to me not eating pork, it was like just kind of out of nowhere, out of the blue, like, hey, Jesus didn't do this. Like, you should, you know, think about not doing that. And you know, next thing, you know, I'm not eating pork. And then, of course, I pray about it, and I go and talk to other people about it. And usually it's through that person I go and talk to, a trusted mentor, a teacher, a counselor, an elder. It's usually through them that I hear God speak and go, oh. I have a lot of aha moments with people. So
I think it's important, like Rabbi Eric was saying in the beginning, to that often the Lord speaks more through his word than anything, right? He's already spoken there. But I think what's most important to keep in mind with that is that we often will say, yeah, well, I just don't feel like I'm hearing the voice of God right now. I don't feel like he's speaking to me. And my question when somebody says that to me is generally, well, Are you practicing listening to his voice? Like, are you in his word? So, you know, if you're not listening to his voice where he's already spoken, how right. are we going to ever be able to recognize the still small voice, the audible voice? Like, you know, the we all want that Sinai experience where, you know, we hear the thunder and see the lightning and
the Gideon experience,
yeah,
you know,
and have this dramatic encounter. Or we want the, you know, oh, give me the Elijah, the still small voice, and, you know, or, you know, Gideon or Paul and so on. Like, we're looking for these dramatic encounters, but the reality is how are you ever going to know if that's truly of God or not if you're not actually listening to his voice where he's already spoken on a regular and faithful basis?
Right.
And then beyond that, when you hear his voice, when you hear him speak into your life, are you actually following through on that? Are you actually doing what he's put on your heart to do? Or are you just riding it away? Because if you're not, you know, like, you know, the Yeshua says, if you're not faithful with a little, why am I going to give you more, right?
And Yeshua tells, when he's telling the parable of the rich man and Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, you know, the guy's like, send someone, resurrect yeah. someone from the dead. Send someone yeah. from the dead. You know, that's a, that would be a miraculous thing if Grandpa Joe came walking yeah. through the doors like, hey, I've got a message from God, and I've come back from the grave to tell you. And Yeshua tells us that
yeah.
they have the Torah and the prophets, and if they don't believe those, yeah. if you don't already interact with the words that God has spoken already, how are you going to? Yeah. You won't believe the miraculous.
Yeah. Yeah, two quick things. One is that for many of us, the way God should and does speak to us is while we're in service, listening to praise and worship, being part of that, allowing the Spirit to speak to our lives
right.
through that,
right.
and the message
right.
and teaching that he has appointed teachers and such to share with us.
Right.
And I believe that, and this is the way I look at it, I think God speaks as if he's an AM radio station, and let me explain that. If you're listening to an AM radio station...
For all the people under 40.
Yeah. If you're listening to an AM radio station and you get to where a big building is between you and the signal, or clouds get between you and the signal, or you go in a tunnel, or you go in a forest where the trees are between you and the signal, you no longer get the signal. Now, that doesn't mean the signal isn't sharing.
Right.
The signal's being sent out. There's just something between you and that signal. So if you're at your synagogue or your congregation and you're listening to the message and you don't seem to be hearing something in your heart from Adonai, you might want to check if there's something, whether it's attitude, desire, something that's between you and God's signal
right.
that's keeping you from hearing it. If you're in praise and worship time and you're not receiving, if you're not hearing from God, if you're not feeling his Spirit, you might want to check and see what it is that's keeping, that's blocking between you and that signal. And
right.
if you're reading his word and you're not receiving from him, you might want to check if maybe your heart's not right. Maybe you have unforgiveness. Maybe you have aught against your brother. You know, scripture says if you have aught against your brother, put your offering down and go make it right and then come back to give that offering. So a lot of times when we're not hearing from God, it's not that he's not speaking or sending the messages to us, but we have allowed ourselves to get in a place where the signal is blocked from our
right.
receiver, and we just can't hear.
Well, I think that there are times when God does take us through periods of silence. I mean, the scriptures attest to that when you read the Psalms. You know, David talks about it, you know, where he feels spurned and forgotten.
Right.
And I think that at times it's because God is testing our faith, and he does send affliction and trial to test our loyalty. The Torah says that in Deuteronomy. He says, you know, the Lord led you through the wilderness in order to test you, and there was a lot of hardship in the wilderness. And,
right.
And God does do that. He doesn't tempt us, but he does test our faith, and he does exercise our faith to help it grow stronger. But I do think it is about the intention. I mean, there is a clear example of God refusing to speak to someone, and that's, you know, King Saul. Not towards the end of his life. And it's not because God didn't like Saul. I believe he loved Saul very much. I think he was very saddened over the man that Saul had become. But the fact is that Saul had spent years refusing to obey God.
Right.
And I think that, you know, and I think that God had become essentially like a genie to Saul. He in this particular situation where God wasn't speaking to him,
right.
Saul was inquiring of God because he was afraid of the Philistines.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with the fact that he was afraid of the Philistines. I think anybody would have been. The issue was is that Saul was not coming to God about disobedience or repentance or the state of his heart. Saul just wanted another victory. And
right.
by that point, God, it says that the Lord didn't speak to him through any means.
Right.
And I think some people look at that and think that, you know, that's really harsh. And I'm like, I don't think God sees the point in speaking to someone who has no intention of
listening. Right.
And I don't think God has any intention of speaking to someone who is praying to him for selfish motives.
Right.
I mean, so it is about the motive of the heart, and I think that if you are praying to God, you have to be prepared to obey
right.
if He answers, because God doesn't. I mean, yes, God loves to commune with us because He loves us. Simply, I think He enjoys communing with us, and I think He has a desire to commune with us because He didn't create us because He had to. I think
right.
He absolutely loves us, but He also speaks to us for a purpose. And I think that if you're not interested in doing what He says, I certainly believe that God says, well, I'm not going to continue to talk to you.
Right.
Because you've by that point, you've become your own God, which, you know, I say, I make allusions to the fact that the belief that there's a God and some benevolent supernatural force is not in the minority. It's in the majority. 79% of people, 79 to 80% of people believe in supernatural and in miracles. So my thing is that if we have those kinds of numbers in the world, then the faith should be doing great, because the issue isn't our capacity to believe in a God
right.
that speaks to us. Where we fail is in the capacity of submitting our lives. Well, that's God's going to tell me how to live.
Right.
And this God's going to tell me to pick up and move. This God's going to tell me not to marry this person.
Right.
This God's going to tell me that this habit in my life has got to go. And that's what people don't want to do. And I literally think there are some people that have the capacity to walk with God, and they don't because they know, what if He tells me
yeah.
what to do with my life? And my answer is, oh, He will.
Yeah. You know, yeah, absolutely, so. He will. Yeah, and then you might have to. I think I was listening to an interview one time, and it was a pretty good interview about people talking about Shabbat and the validity of keeping Shabbat. As and these were Christians, talking about, you know, should we keep? They weren't Seventh-day Adventists or anything. They were, I mean, just like kind of run of the mill Baptist, you know, Southern Bible Belt Christians talking about, well, you know, should we keep Sabbath, or, you know, is it true that Sabbath, you know, is Saturday and not Sunday? And it was just kind of like, I was listening to this on the side, and the guy talking said, this one lady said something really interesting. She was like, well, I just can't embrace that. And he was like, why? And she was like, well, because, you know, so much would have to change. And he was like, well, thank you for being honest, you know, that you can't embrace it, because you would have to change a lot. Like, so, like, if you start that road, a lot of stuff changes. You start obeying God in one way, so much opens up. And that's why Yeshua tells us, count the cost, because it's like, this is not like a you made a decision, signed a little
yeah.
you know, sinner's repentance card and turned it into the offering box. Like, your life is about to begin with this decision to follow Yeshua,
right.
and your entire life will change. We'll be able to call new creations.
And that's a catch right there too. Like, you know, if you're asking to hear the voice of God,
right.
First, before you start asking that question, you need to decide, are you willing to heed the voice of God?
Right.
Right. If He tells you to do something, and we'll use ministry as the example, right? If God calls you into vocational ministry,
right.
not that that's the only calling out there, but we're using it for example. If He calls you into vocational ministry, like if you're crying out, God, I want to hear Your voice. What do You want me to do? What do You have? And He says, okay, I want you to go into vocational ministry. I want you to be a rabbi or a pastor. I want you to be a worship leader. I want you to be whatever, like this vocational role. Are you willing to do that?
Right.
Are you willing to do what God calls you to do? If He calls you to pack up and go to random, you know, area across the country and to follow His lead to
right.
expand the kingdom there, are you willing to pack up everything, leave everything behind, and go? Right?
And that's the extreme example.
Yeah.
Like, I think the normal would be, you're a successful, you know, computer engineer, six figures a year.
Yeah.
God says you need to do vocational ministry, and now you're looking at taking a, you know, your lifestyle is about to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, beyond that, it's are you willing to talk to the person standing next to you at the cash register while you're waiting to check
out? Right.
Are you willing to talk to the waitress or the server at the restaurant that you're at? Are you, you know, when we want God to speak to us like, you know, Moses, go set my people free.
Right.
But the reality is, many of us, he's trying to talk to us all the time, but we're not.
Most of us
listening.
Were very much like Moses, and we just keep arguing.
That's
and keep
right.
arguing.
Yeah, and but he's like, talk to that person. Look at the, like we were at a restaurant the other day. It was during our staff meeting the other day,
right.
And we're at a restaurant where and the waitress was very efficient, very. Doing
good.
Her job.
It's good what she did.
But one of the girls in the office says, you know, something's bothering her. She hasn't smiled since she's been here. And, you know, but she's done a good job. It wasn't like the service wasn't good. And so when it came time, she was bringing the food out, I stopped her and I said, look, we're about to pray. Is there anything that we can pray for you about? And she said, well, I'm about to start my new classes and I'm really concerned about it. And you could tell the weight of her classes in her last year of college was pressing on her.
Right.
And so we prayed for her and she smiled and went on. But my being open to listen to the Lord and say, wait a minute, is there something we can pray for you about? That's the kind of stuff I think God speaks to us all the time about.
Right.
But we're looking for the big let my people go speeches from God when and most of the time it's like, hey, can I help you with this? Do you need a hand with that? Are you, you know, looking at the widow, the orphan, the single mom and saying, is there anything at your house? You know, that God's saying, hey, why don't you go talk to that person and see if their yard needs to be mowed or if their house, you know, but those are not, you know, parting the Red Sea things, so we don't see them as...
When you're in the grocery store and you see a young family that's clearly deciding between diapers and formula, and the Lord says, hey, go get them a pack of diapers and buy them and just be a blessing to them, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to make the change, the sacrifice, like Jonathan was saying, the, you know, the whole conversation about Shabbat? Well, if I were to do that, that changes a lot. Okay, well, are you willing to change? If the Lord is speaking to you on a matter, particularly a scriptural matter especially, but if the Lord is speaking to you on a matter, are you willing to make that change? Because you're right, listening to and following God's lead requires sacrifice.
Right, and talking to somebody you don't know is, for a lot of people, a major...
Yeah.
You know, that's like parting the Red Sea to many people to get them just to walk up to somebody they don't know and say, hey, you look like you could use some help. Can I help you? Is there something I can do? Yeah.
I think God messes with me with that sometimes because I really like, especially when I'm out in public, I don't want to talk to random people I don't know. Like, it's just not my thing. But it's a regular thing that somebody will walk up and stop me and start asking questions, or will feel the Lord say, hey, you know, go see what's going on, go talk with them, go chat with them. I'm like, why are you doing this to me? Like, pick somebody else. I become like Reb Tevye. You know, I know we're the chosen people, but couldn't you choose someone else for once?
Right. So, but it's important that we understand that God doesn't just speak in the parting of the Red Sea moments. He speaks in the moments of everyday life,
day to day,
where we can really be the voice and action of God in people's lives if we'll listen to the leading of His voice on our heart. And it may not be, matter of fact, most of the time it's not going to be. You know, I think David, when the prophet came up to David and said, told him the story about the guy who stole the lamb, and he said, you are the man. I don't think that was the first time God tried to talk to David about that. I think David talked to a whole bunch, you know, God spoke to David a bunch of times before that, and David rejected it, and it finally came to the point where God had to send somebody to, you know, openly oppose him in that way. And I think that in our lives, a lot of times, if we would learn to listen to the small day-to-day things we'd find that the big things were just take care of themselves. We wouldn't have to hear. And it goes back to David talking about when he was younger and how many times God really, I think, tried to use him to speak to me, to tell me, you're still Jewish, you need to be Jewish. Right. You know, I didn't make a mistake. And because I didn't listen to him or others who may have spoken to me, it took an audible experience to get me to listen, in the same way it took David to have the prophet say, you are the man. And I think that if we learn to listen to his voice on a regular basis in the small things,
that
we'll find life goes easier. We'll find that life for other people goes easier because their needs are met and taken care of. We as a community will love one another and have a closer relationship that depends on one another and knows that we can ask for prayer because people are going to listen to God and do that. And then maybe we won't have as many you are the man moments in our life.
And for one last key to hearing the voice of God, recognizing the voice of God, in all honesty, sometimes we got to shut up long enough. Right. Yeah, like Rabbi Eric saying, we're listening for that big Sinai experience, like, you know, audible voice screaming out. But sometimes he's speaking in that still small whisper, and we're too busy running our mouth. We're too busy telling God what we want, what we need, asking God for what would make our lives easier and whatever else, that we're not able to hear what he is speaking. So sometimes we got to shut up and get out of his way and let him talk, especially in prayer. Prayer's communication. Communication requires both parties. Sit back, shut up every once in a while and listen.
Right.
Well, I hope this has been helpful to you and that it's applicable to you, to where you can start listening and noting where the Lord spoke to you. And I encourage you, if you don't already do this, get a journal, get a little notebook, and when you feel God is speaking to you, make a note of it and then follow it and see if it comes to pass, if it comes to fruition, if God blessed through it. Keeping a journal of prayers that you prayed and then keeping a journal of when God spoke to you or when you felt God spoke to you will help you to exercise your faith, to build up, and to learn to listen to his voice. You know, the scripture said, my sheep know my voice, and we should know his voice. So we hope this has been helpful. If it has been, share it with others. Please do us a favor and like these podcasts on whatever mechanism you're listening to them. Share them with other people. Write a review if it's possible to do that. Help us to establish our broadcast a little broader so that other people can be helped by this. And listen to God's voice. You'll find that life will go easier. Thank you and shalom.
Thank you for listening to the Messy Antics Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you can be notified every time we drop a new episode. And be sure to follow and interact with us on social media at Messy Antics Podcast.